All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Running over here with my coffee and hitting the buttons, and I think we're ready to go. And good morning to my sidekick, Mr. Winesar, Brian. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning. So how many hot dogs did you give out last night?
I couldn't give any out. I was going to set the grill up and give out those hot dogs dipped in hot sauce and call them hello weenies, but, you know, the boss wouldn't let me do it, so I had to give out candy bars instead, and the little moochers just about cleaned us out too.
I don't understand. You know, you live in the middle of a swamp. Where are these kids coming from?
I guess they're swamp kids or something. They have this
swamp
big
rats.
Deal. Swamp rats. Yeah, they have this big deal here on the island where all the kids go to a place where they all hop on the back of this big tractor. What do you call it? Hayride. And then they pull them along, and they stop along all the different houses. So they come in droves when they come. I mean, literally, you know, you'll have onesies and twosies here and there. And then all of a sudden you get bombarded by, like, a whole bunch of munchkins that are all grabbing the candy. And they wiped us out. I had to go into my own special stash of M&Ms just to keep them happy.
Oh, God. When I was reading that last night, I'm like thinking, what the hell are they doing? They must be bussing these kids in from another state.
I think they do, because it was unbelievable. You're right. They're like swamp rats running everywhere. But anyway, we kept them happy. And then about, I think it was like 8:20, lights were out because we were out of candy. It was either going to be candy or beer, and I don't think I can give them beer. So anyway, speaking of candy, hold on a second. Yeah, here we go. Speaking of candy, you're the Winesar, and I saw that you posted something about candy and a chart and wine. So I wanted to have you on since I'm sure there's tons of candy left over in everybody's house. I know there are around here because they took it all from me. But what would you pair with different types of candy? Do you have any suggestions, Mr. Winesar? And don't tell me that you're going to, you don't say it's going to be champagne either. You got to be creative here.
I was going to say champagne. There goes the show. No, actually.
Wait. No, I'm going to pick them, and I'm going to see how good you are, okay? Snicker bars.
Let me see. Snickers. Snickers, peanuts, and chocolate, and caramel, right?
Yeah, you're stalling for time.
I'm not stalling for time. I'm just thinking. Snickers, I would probably do like a nice Merlot.
Nice, bro. Now, here's the other question. How do we know you're right or wrong? I guess it doesn't really matter when you're talking candy. All right, so Merlot, now I'm going to keep track of this. You can't – no, there's no duplicating, so you better come up with some fancy wine.
Wait, so I can't use the same wine for different candies?
No, you're playing my game the way I want to play it. So Merlot for Snickers. All right, writing that down. All right, let's go Sweet Tarts. How about Sweet Tarts?
First of all, why would you even want to eat Sweet Tarts? Who gives out Sweet Tarts?
Well, I don't, but do they even sell those anymore? I know when I was a kid, I used to hate that. You go out and you bring your garbage bag or your grocery bag and you come back, you'd have like 3,722 little packs of Sweet Tarts, which I never ate them. My brother liked them. But what would you combine with a pairing of wine with Sweet Tarts?
Probably something sweet, like a Riesling. I can't stand Sweet Tarts.
No,
how about a nice beer and let's forget it and call it a day?
I like that idea. But you know what? Now, okay, that brings up another question. Forget about the candy for a second. Why would you choose a sweet wine with a sweet item?
Well, see, I normally wouldn't, but I will tell you that I can't take credit for these pairings. One of my clients thought it was... All right, listen, let me talk.
All right.
One of my clients thought it would be cute to do candy and wine pairings, and they found all this information, including the chart that I had sent Lori during the week. And I'm looking at this thing, I'm saying, where in their right minds did they find the energy and the time to actually do this? Because I get some of this stuff and I'm thinking, what? I mean, we have a 100 grand bar. I thought that was like the $1 million bar. And what's ironic is that, what's ironic is that you see, you know, things paired off with Cabernet Merlot. The 100 grand bar is paired off with Bordeaux because Bordeaux is more expensive.
Come on. This whole pairing thing cracks me up. You guys that do this pairing stuff, you never can be proved right or wrong. See, now, if I come on the radio show and I hit buttons and the music doesn't play or our system shuts down, see, I can be graded by that, by my performance. But so what if you choose... So if you choose a Bordeaux with 100,000 bar, who cares? Who's going to say you're right or wrong?
Well, but you know I always say that. You know, you drink what you want. You know, if someone asks me to do a pairing, I'm going to do a pairing based on what I like to drink, and that'll be that. But, I mean, come on, let's be serious. Wine and candy? I mean, I think I even mentioned in my link to the show that I'd rather have a couple of shots of moonshine and forget the whole thing.
Well, I will tell you, last night I had two Vines Shiraz 2009 with a Snickers bar, M&Ms. What else did I eat here? Oh, yeah, some cookies. And there was some other thing I ate that was chocolate. But it went well with all four of them.
Well, chocolate, yes, and for Valentine's Day, I usually have a chocolate and wine pairing, and I generally do not pair sweet wines with chocolate because the chocolate's already sweet. So the idea is to figure out the sweetness of the chocolate and then pair it off against something that's less sweet, you know, in the wine. So sweeter chocolate, like milk chocolate, is going to be drier wines. Darker chocolate is going to be more fruitier wines. So, I mean, but, you know, we start
whatever
with candy corn. I mean, come on, candy corn? Candy corn? Jolly Ranchers.
Well.
Oh, that's a good one. Jolly Ranchers. Let's pair off Jolly Ranchers.
They stick in my teeth. I don't like them anyway.
So I wanted to do this more to mock it than to actually do one.
Well, I'm bored with it now. Let's go to something else. Oh, you know what? I forgot to do what I always forget to do. If you're listening on your iPod or your iTunes or whatever your iThing is, and you don't see the screen in front of you, I'm supposed to announce who's on the show. So, first of all, who's on the show? Me. And who else? The Wines Are Brian. Laurie may be on the show, by the way. We're not sure. She's going to be calling in.
Is she putting on her makeup again?
No. She went to the Fireman's Brigade auction, some kind of thing, November doodad that they do here on the island, and they're having crab cakes and an auction and all that, and she's supposed to be calling in, I think, from there on location, but I don't know. She wrote me
Wait a second. Wait a second. You let Lori go hang out with a bunch of firemen?
Well, let me
tell
you.
What happens with pretty women and a bunch
of
firemen.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, they could care less that I'm here. I mean, you ought to see these guys. She goes to the store, and it looks like a freaking fireman's brigade going to the store. I mean, everybody jumps in their pickup truck. So, oh, yeah, they don't want me there anyway. She gets the phone call. Oh, Laurie, are you coming to our fireman's brigade? And she says, well, Grillion's got the radio show. Well, why don't you come? So, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Who else is on the show? Oh, yeah. Okay, Nancy McDermott. And actually, I have to be honest with you. I didn't do a whole lot of research. I know I've seen Nancy tons of times, and this is awful that I'll know this. But, my gosh, she's got tons and tons of cookbooks. And I went to her website. She's coming on to talk about pies, my favorite subject other than grilling. And then she's going to be talking about her video series where you can learn how to make pies online, which is pretty cool. I was looking at that this morning. But Nancy McDermott will be joining us as our first guest at 12 noon. And then our singing guest is I think she's the sister of one of our previous guests, Greg Coffey. And she's going to be joining us. She's also a singer, Catherine Coffey. And I just love that name, Coffey. She's coming on to sing a few songs for us and talk about her career. So that's who we got planned. Maybe Laurie will be calling in. I have a feeling she'll be surrounded by a bunch of firemen. I wanted her to call in and talk about the crab cakes, but we'll see what happens. So anyway, did you enjoy Halloween, Winesart? I mean, does any kids show up at your house? I don't picture very many kids coming to your place.
Guess what? The doorbell never rang. I had a nice quiet evening.
Really?
I had a nice, well, the neighborhood we live in doesn't have a lot of kids, yet there's a elementary school right behind us, but I guess they get bussed in from somewhere else, like your trick-or-treaters last night. further up the street where we are, I think there are more younger families, but there's a lot of, you know, kind of retired people, and I call it like a blue-collar working neighborhood. We've never, you know, we bought candy in the past, and then the doorbell, you know, hasn't rung, and I'm like thinking, well, I'm just not going to even bother. I closed the drapes. I stuck my knives in the window so that people would stay away, and so
Is it you or is it your neighborhood?
Well, I'm sure you'll want to tell our listeners that it's me. So let's just say it's me and move on.
That's pretty sad. I couldn't keep the little moochers away. They were just like banging on the door all night long, and there you are sitting back sipping your wine with your drapes closed. Boy.
I'm also a bachelor this weekend, so... You know, it was just nice to have a quiet night.
They said, don't go to that creepy man over there where he's home by himself. That's what it's all about. Okay.
Yeah, stay away. There's an angry man behind the door.
Oh,
and he just bought a new knife.
All right, let's switch gears here. We talked enough about Halloween-y. Did you go to any restaurants you want to tick off? Have you done any tasting of food this past week?
I'm always on the dark side as you know, as far as you're concerned now, and I will admit, I play on the dark side probably way too much these days. But let's just continue this whole thing of why a freaking hamburger and French fries and a Coke are over $10 floor. What happened to the Subway's $5 footlong thing?
Yeah, you know what? That's exactly right. I got the footlong the other day, and it was $9.50. Of course, I did get a bottle of water, so I guess it was like $8 for the sub and $1.50 for the water. But yeah, you're right.
You can't go anywhere
for like less than like $8-$9 now.
They have like two sandwiches that are on the $5, and you know it's like those two sandwiches are completely boring, and anything else is now premium price, including tuna. I mean, the tuna, the footlong tuna. Okay, where was I? I was in Williamsburg yesterday, so I stopped at Subway's. I've got a Subway's card, and I could get the damn sandwich for free because I've got so many freaking points on my card that I never use. But, I usually pay, and then, you know, sometimes when someone comes in and doesn't have enough money, I just buy them a sandwich with my points. But, you know, I was like, looking at the board, why is tuna $6.75, and then you buy the chips and drink, so it comes out to $9-something, and then with tax, my Subway sandwich yesterday was $11.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, I'm like, of course, you know. Now wait a minute.
Where did this come from?
I don't know. According to the government records, I just saw it this week. Inflation is only like what, less than 2%. They haven't been shopping for beef or pork, or they haven't been to Subway, or they haven't been to Burger King, or haven't been to Hardee's or McDonald's. There's inflation out there, and part of it is the cost of food's gone up. So I understand why these guys are raising it. I don't. Does it have anything to do with the? They haven't changed the minimum wage, have they? No, but some states have, but not everywhere. I don't know.
I don't understand it. You know, it's like fast food and okay, here's another one. McDonald's, and actually I like it because it's, you know, if I've got like $5 and change in my pocket and I just want a full meal, it's cheap. They have now what they call a jalapeno double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And you can get it as a meal. It's like kind of an offshoot of the dollar menu thing.
Right.
And so I got it. I said, can I get this as a meal? And they said, yeah. And so I said, okay, give me a large size, you know, large fries and large drink. And so it came to like $5 and change. But I realized that the way they can afford it is, do you remember when the McDonald's single burger, okay, they used to use, and I worked in fast food when I was in college. So I remember they had the burger sizes, the tenth of the burger, the eighth of the burger, you know,
right.
the third of the pound, eighth of the pound, third of the pound, quarter of the pound. These things must be a 16th of a pound. The burgers were so thin. It was like paper. There were two of them there, but they were so thin. It was like paper. Because, I mean, the first time I got it, I'm like, where's the beef?
That was one of the slogans for somebody. Who was that? Who was that? Burger King?
Is it Wendy's?
No, Wendy's. Wendy's, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. There is not probably anymore. Well,
but
okay.
I can't afford fast food anymore.
It isn't fast cheap food anymore. And you're right, it's not fast either. You got to sit in line forever and ever. So, did you see my boneless chicken thighs concoction?
Yes, and I was
Facebook?
Nice to you, wasn't I? I
yeah,
was
you
nice
were actually
to
pretty
you.
Nice. That's right, you did see it. Well, that
and,
was
and,
turned out
but
fantastic.
The only thing I said was that I don't know why you're so obsessed with tinfoil. You didn't have to put tinfoil on the pan.
You don't know the half of it. I have to tell you something funny about that. Our oven. We just realized it has a self-cleaning button just the other day, but the oven had gotten kind of dirty. So I lined the whole bottom of the rack with tinfoil. I then wrapped each pan of thighs with tinfoil, and then I covered the bottom of the oven with tinfoil. So you were right. I must have had like $8 worth of tinfoil in the oven when I cooked those things, and Laurie was laughing. She goes, oh, my God. And then you wrote, what I have stock in Reynolds? I used like half a roll that night.
I know. You know what? I always think of And I don't remember the guy's name, but there used to be this, like, street guy in New York that used to, like, practically wrap himself in tinfoil because he thought that he was getting signals from Mars or somewhere. And when I used to see all the tinfoil, you wrapped everything in tinfoil, I'm like, thinking, brilliant, he's that guy in New York.
You know, you guys laugh. Let me tell you, I know that it's not everybody wants to do it on the grill without tinfoil in the all-natural way, but it keeps everything moist, and it makes everything better. And what I usually do is when I cook with tinfoil, if it's vegetables, I leave it in there because they steam themselves inside the tinfoil. But if it's like a meat, pork, like a pork butt or whatever, they'll take it out and then let it cook the remaining part of the way on the grill. But I have found in my extreme amount of testing that the meat stays so much more tender when you wrap it in foil, and it doesn't dry out. And people come from miles around to have my food. So,
yeah, like the kids that got busted yesterday.
Yeah, they bust them in. Anyway, let's take a quick break. I don't know if Laurie's going to call in. I guess she's been abducted by firemen by now. But let's take a quick break. And
they're showing her how to use the pole.
I won't even go there. Hang on.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, it's an ultimate cooking experience, the Big Green Egg, www.biggreenegg.com. Go find a dealer near you and get yourself a Big Green Egg. And Laurie does.
So what's on the Big Green Egg this weekend?
Nothing. It's raining right now. Laurie does know how to use the pole, by the way.
What?
Nothing right now going on the Big Green Egg. But
I didn't
sure
expect
we'll
you to respond to that. So now you're in trouble.
Yeah, I'm always in trouble. I stay in trouble pretty much every day of my life. So what difference does that make? All right, let's see here. Is this Lauren trying to call in? Nope. Hey, by the way, just for fun, if you want a free T-shirt, a Green Idea T-shirt, this never works, but what the heck. If you would like a free T-shirt, you can call in right now in the next 7 minutes. 714-242-5272. You will get yourself a nifty Green Ideas Radio T-shirt. I can't give these things away. It's
You know, it's such a great shirt. It really is such a great shirt. I love wearing mine, and I don't know why someone wouldn't want to get a free shirt just to call and say hi. I invite people to come and just sort of, you know, throw me under the bus, but they don't want to do that. So let's just get them to call and say hi.
I know. That's all you got to do. And it's funny. They're listening. I see the numbers every week. There's people out there, but I don't know. It's like they're afraid to call in to get a free T-shirt. It's the weirdest thing I have ever seen. But I actually read an article about an old-time radio guy who – he actually got a complex because that happened to him. He would try to give, you know, free records or tapes and stuff, and nobody would call in. So he had to get, like, his friends and family to pretend like they were listening. Here they were calling in.
Yeah.
But you can get a complex, I guess. But I see the numbers. I know you're out there. And
yeah,
all you got to do is call. It's really weird.
Hey, I got a question for you. Did you get
yeah.
to see any of the pictures that were posted already from our brother Aaron's
yes,
wedding.
That's right. Matter of fact, congratulations, Aaron.
Coolest thing. Yeah, congratulations. But that is, I mean, the two of them really knew how to do it right. I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't get over how cool that all looked.
Yeah, they did a good job. That was really cool. Aaron Smith and Lenora Smith now, too. You guys, check him out on Facebook. Aaron used to be my sidekick until he had honeydew patches to take care of and couldn't appear on Saturdays, but he's going to be doing his own show, a barbecue show, sometime in the first of the year. But, yeah, congratulations, Aaron and Lenora. May you live happy, long lives together. There you go. I did my duty.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, yeah. I don't know who that was calling it. I thought it was Laurie, but I guess not. So I'm going to take another break here. We're going to play a little music. Since we mentioned Greg Coffee, I like Greg Coffee. He was a great guest. And since it's, I think it's his sister, is coming on later. Let me see here. Greg Coffee. Here we go. Greg Coffee. Which one do I want to play? I don't know. Greg, you're running the show. I'm going to play the song, That Girl. Yeah, remember that Seinfeld episode where Jimmy likes this and Jimmy likes that? And Greg likes this and Greg likes that. Greg likes this song, so Greg is going to play Greg Coffee, That Girl. Everyone hang tight. We should be back with our first guest, so don't go away. Catherine Coffee, and she's also a singer, so we're going to be keeping it all in this family. So in the meantime, guess what we're going to do? We're going to talk about pie. You like pie, Brian?
I love pie, and I want to know if you're going to ask Nancy about your peanut butter banana honey bacon pie.
You know what? Let's do that, and she's right here, so let's put her on phone here with us, and everything's working. Come on, Blog Talk. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Hello, Nancy. Welcome to the show.
hello, and I don't know about good bacon, morning. But everything else sounds good, and I'm open.
All right,
it could
now,
be fabulous.
Now, listen to this. It's really good, and you probably could make a video out of this and put it on your video site and make tons of money, but I tried it out, and you take peanut butter, bananas, honey, and bacon, and make a pie out of it, and it is amazing, amazing, amazing. And I'll let you have that recipe if you would like.
Well, I think they should make it at Graceland, because I think that is a number of Elvis's favorite food groups right there.
Yeah.
In one pie.
You're right. He was a big fan of that. Well, I don't know about the bacon part, but I bet he would eat it anyway.
The bacon is kind of a 21st century touch, but I don't know. I think he might have gone for it.
Well, welcome to the show. And you, I'm calling you the pie lady. You're actually more than the pie lady. I have to be honest, I had really never gone to your website until recently. My God, you got all kinds of cookbooks. You've got pies, you got cakes, you got Chinese, you got Thai, you got Vietnamese food. Wow, oh wow! How long you been doing all this?
Oh, over 20 years. My first book came out in 1992, which may be before some of y'all were born. And I've always loved to cook, and I've always loved to eat. And I started my early, probably first 10 years of writing was mostly about Asian food because I was in the Peace Corps in Thailand, and I came home hungry for Thai food, learned to cook it, and that's what I started teaching and writing about. And then I started working on Southern baking. I've got the Southern Pies book and a Southern Cakes book when we moved back to North Carolina. I lived in Southern California with my husband and two children who were both born there from 1985 to 1999. And that's when I did all my Asian cooking and teaching. And then we moved back to North Carolina, which is my home, in 1999. And I'd been, you know, making cakes and making pies. And I found that as food became more, you know, with food TV and people become, you know, Americans becoming more aware of European pastries and pastry chefs and all of that, I think a lot of people kind of lost faith in home baking and came to think of, you know, making pies and making cakes as something that pastry chefs do. And they do
right.
it, and they do it very well. But my grandmother made pies. She made cakes. You know, women used to have to cook. It was required. And there's so
right.
many, you know, pies and cakes and cookies are things that are really easy for somebody to just walk in the kitchen and make without, you know, without taking a class, without having a degree. And it's brought me joy all my life. So I love to share it.
Well, your pies look amazing. And let's talk about, I'm going to go a little backwards here. Instead of talking about the book first, let's talk about this video online class thing you have. It's called Classic Pies Made Easy. That is really cool. It's on Craftsy, Craftsy. And can you tell people a little bit about what that deal is all? Because I was looking at that today. I'm like, this is really cool. It's hands-on training to learn how to make all these wonderful pies.
I am so tickled to have found out about that. I have fellow cookbook author friends who posted on Facebook. I just did a Craftsy class, and I sent them a message, and they gave me the name. And Craftsy, Craftsy, Craftsy.com is a kind of how-to do-it-yourself classes website. It's been out there 3 or 4 years. And they started out doing knitting and crocheting and photography and woodworking and so forth, and they started doing and of course cake decorating, but they started doing cooking and the kind of food that I do I think it's been just about a year. And I flew out to Denver, spent about a week there, and went in the Craftsy kitchen, and they have a crew, the photography crew and food stylists, and it's my cooking classes, only anybody can buy the class and watch it anytime, and you can stop it and go back and send me questions. And they've just got hundreds and hundreds of classes, and it's just, I mean, it was so much fun to do it, and I really love being able to, you know, be in the kitchen with people and explain, here's how I make a pie crust. Here's how you whip the cream. Here's how thick the filling should look before you pour it in the pie crust. So it's my first pie class is Classic Pies Made Easy, and Craftsy.com. So if you need me to hold your hand, go get that class, and I'll be right there. And if I didn't make it clear, you can send me a question. It's really great to interact with students.
No, it's really cool. I had never seen that before until today. And by the way, it's real easy to find it, too. If you go to Nancy's website, which is nancymcdermott.com, we have a link right here on the show. You just can click and go to it. And then she has, like, a little icon where you can click on Classic Pies Made Easy, and it takes you right to the Craftsy. That's hard to say. Craftsy.com location. That's really difficult to say. Anyway, it's really cool.
You got to think about it.
It's like, what, $39.99, I believe, and you get how many classes?
It's seven lessons, and they're, you know, there's the custard pies and meringue pies and different ones within there, and you can skip around. You don't have to go in order. There's no homework, but if you want to make the pies and post them, you can even post the things that you do as a project, and then all of us can see them. It's a great little community.
Well, I love pie, and I have to tell you a funny pie story. My mother's going to kill me for this story, but my mother makes really good pies, and she's known for her pies, too. I mean, she makes pecan pie or pecan pie if you're from North Carolina, and she makes all kinds of different pies. Well, she makes key lime pie, too. Key lime pie, I guess, is a little difficult to make. At least she says it is. But anyway, make a long story short, we went there. I think it was Thanksgiving or Christmas. I don't remember what it was, but she made a key lime pie, and she had it in the refrigerator. And she went to pull it out of the refrigerator, and she dropped it on the floor. Well, we were all none of us were in the room when she did it. I just happened to walk in about the time that she was scooping it back into the pie pen off the floor. And I said,
what
"Mom, are you going to still serve that?" She told me it was a 6-second rule, so it only hit the ground for 6 seconds, so it was still good. We still ate it.
Well, you know, you're here talking to me, and she's making pies for her family, so I'm with her. Go for it.
By the way, speaking of that, can you make key lime pie in your any of your videos or in your actual book? Do you have a recipe for key lime pie?
Well, actually, the photo on the cover of my book is key lime pie, and I think
that.
A lot of people, it doesn't look like it because a lot of people expect it to be green. But, of course, if your key lime pie is green, that's food coloring. And if you want to use food coloring, that's fine. But, of course, key lime juice looks like lemon juice, and you can substitute them. And it's really just a version of good old lemon icebox pie where you've got egg yolks, you've got sweetened condensed milk, and you've got that citrus juice, and it all kind of sets up. In the olden days, they didn't bake it at all, but now because of, you know, food safety concerns with egg yolks and in the mix, it's one of the simplest pies to make if you use my recipe. I'm sure your mother's is harder and more delicious.
Well, I think my mother has a problem with it because it has a hard time staying in the pie tin. That's the problem. That's why it's so difficult for her. She tries to jump out of the refrigerator.
That's right.
She's going
to
kill me.
She's going to have to put
a
lid on that thing.
That's right. So what are some of your favorite pies? I know you make all kinds. What are your favorites?
One of my favorites is a sweet potato. That's just sort of a, you know, part of my southernness. And sweet potato is really the same as pumpkin pie pretty much, except, you know, I like to use evaporated milk, old school, and a lot of spices, and that's just such an easy one to stir up. But my very favorites, I would say, of all of them are anything with meringue. I think that was just so magical to me growing up, and, you know, that the egg whites go from, you know, just being this sort of clear, thick liquid to turn into these clouds. And I like making the decorations and I like how it browns. So, and in the book I have a chocolate pie. And in my part of the South, if you say chocolate pie, it means a chocolate sort of pudding-like filling and meringue on top. That's the old-timey way. And in the book, I also have a butterscotch pie, which is brown sugar, evaporated milk, butter, just a yummy, almost a caramelly filling, and that meringue on top. And then lemon meringue. Actually, I have a wonderful lemon meringue pie on my blog, which is if you go to my website, nancymcdermott.com, and put in lemon meringue pie in the search engine. It's not mine. It's my friend Kate McDermott. We're not related, but we're pie sisters, and she's a great pie writer and teacher. And it's her grandmother's lemon meringue pie. And it's the kind of thing where you cook it, you think it might be difficult, but it's really simple to make, and just it's such a treat any time of the year.
Now you also have a book called Southern Cakes. And
yes, I do.
How long ago did you publish that? That looks really good, too. What kind of cakes do you find in there?
Oh, my gosh. I've got a whole chapter of pound cakes. a chapter of coconut egg.
Ah, Laurie would love that.
Yes, she would.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different variations on coconut cake, and I didn't realize this. And until I wanted to do it, I knew I loved the subject. And until I started kind of making my list, it's like the chapters just kind of, you know, showed themselves to me. There's a chapter of holiday cakes, which is, you know, I have fruit cake and I have a honey cake for Rosh Hashanah and just all kinds of, you know, just different holiday things. I've got a chapter of chocolate cakes. And then I've got some regional ones, ones that are sort of from the North Carolina mountains, like dried apple stack cake, or ones that are from nearer to the coastlines, fig cake with buttercream icing. So it's, you know, I'm only interested in recipes that have a story. And I feel like I'm creative in terms of I like to look back and see what people used to do and can we still do it and why did they do that. And it never occurs to me to make variations. People say, oh, I love your recipe, but instead of this, I use that. And instead of the other, I think, oh, my gosh, how did you know to do that? You know, I'm always sort of a recipe follower and a researcher. So I'm the detective. I'm going to go back and say, here's how it was. Here's what's really wonderful to still do today. Because, you know, some things we don't make anymore because they just really don't stand the test of time. So I don't love in my book.
Yeah.
I stick to recipes that I think are delicious and that people can make.
Well, Laurie made an apple pie just last week, and I actually never seen anybody make one like she did, but she actually cut up all the apples, and then she put cinnamon and sugar, and then she put a whole stick of butter, and then sprinkled some flour in there, I guess, to make it all bind together.
Yes,
and
to make that.
It came out amazing. I mean, of course, I ate like 3/4 of it, and I probably gained about 12 pounds, but unbelievable. And she was going to be on the show, but I guess the firemen have abducted her. She hasn't called in yet, but she was going to ask you what is your favorite apple pie recipe.
You just said it. I will, and that's actually one that I think is great for people who think they can't make a pie to make, because you know, it's not as easy as, say, just stir, something which you stir together with a fork. You got to peel the apples, you got to cut them up. But people can figure that out, even if you use a paring knife. And then you've got chunks of apples. You're going to toss them with, as you said, like, I don't know, a handful, a coffee cup size of sugar, and a tablespoon or two of flour, and cinnamon, nutmeg, whatever spices that you like. You mix those, toss the apples with that sugar, flour, spices mixture, and then a little butter or a lot of butter, you know, dotted around the top, cover it up, and bake it for about 45 minutes to an hour and 10 minutes, kind of depends. Say 350, 400 degrees, and it's going to smell wonderful, and it's going to make an incredible thick sauce inside, and you're going to say, I'm a genius. I can make an apple pie. You don't need measurements. You know, okay, you need measurements. I'd say get 8 apples. My favorite apple to use for apple pie is Granny Smith. And, of course, you know, look online. Look in my book. You can find apple pie recipes. But I love that one because it's kind of, okay, I'm going to peel the apples. I'm going to cut them up. I'm going to take sugar and a little bit of flour and some spices and toss them all together. And then I'm going to put butter on top. Done. And it's,
and by the way,
you know, there's no better fall feeling than a piece of apple, warm apple pie with whipped cream or ice cream optional.
You said a big thing, too. Some people make their apple pies and they don't peel the apples, and it's like, come on, because then when you eat it, it's like chewing on a Band-Aid. I can't stand that when they do that.
I'm old school for that. You know, the elders peel the apples, and I do too. You can leave those apples on for, what's that salad? Waldorf salad. You know, chopped apples with the peel on and some walnuts and some celery. You can get your apple peel, but for a pie, nah, I'm with you. I think for that one, you just want it to be. Sometimes I'm a traditionalist. That's one time.
Hey, Brian, what's your favorite
pie? Yes, sir.
What's your favorite pie?
I think apple's probably, you know, my favorite. It's a classic, and I that's probably the only pie I probably can bake because I can't bake. As good a cook as I am, I am one of those that doesn't like to follow directions. It's all at the stove, whatever I feel like doing. And baking just requires a little bit of actually reading a formula and not overdoing certain things. But apple pie,
Brian, you're right.
You know,
with baking, there are some rules or some ways that you gotta go.
Neither one of us follow rules very well. Now,
you know,
another thing. Have you ever made a blueberry Merlot pie?
Well, no, I have not. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
I'll have to send you
that one.
Yes, please.
It's my own concoction. Well, I did it on the grill.
Merlot and berries, a good marriage.
Yeah, it's actually very good. You take blueberries and Merlot, and you actually put honey in the Merlot and mix it in with the blueberries. And I cooked it on the big green egg and grilled it, and it turned out excellent. In fact, Laurie's birthday is coming up, and she wants me to make another one. So there's one you can add in your next pie cookbook.
Oh, that sounds good. And I know the color must be beautiful. Now, you have to have vanilla ice cream with that because I want the color of that Merlot and blueberry sauce to show up. That sounds divine.
Definitely. Now, I got a question. What's your next plan? You've got all these cookbooks. I'm sure you got something else up your sleeve. You got another cookbook in the works?
Well, I have actually two cookbooks in the works. One is coming out next in the spring is a Asian vegetarian book, and I'll come back on the show and tell you about that when it's out of the oven.
Definitely.
And another one in the fall. So I got a couple of things in the oven for next year. I really want to do more with Craftsy. We're talking about our next class, and I'm working on doing videos for YouTube and my website because I really like that. You know, getting in the kitchen with people, and I also want to do television where I go on field trips because I love to go grocery shopping. I love to go to the Asian market. Love to go to the farmers market, and I find people. You know, not everybody is has the time and the ability that I do to zoom all around, and I love to talk to people, and it's so sweet. And when I go and I interview somebody, I write for Edible Piedmont and different magazines, and I go out and I spend 2 hours with somebody. And they tell me their stories, and I've got these wonderful quotations, and I come back to my office, and I'm all alone, and I'm looking at my notes, and I say, how can I find the words to make this great food person that I've just talked to, how can I bring them to life on paper in words? And I do my best, but I always feel like, gosh, I wish I could take everybody with me. And the thing that I find about doing television is you can, and I can be there and talk to the person, and my co-cook and I can cook together, and a camera person can catch that, and then you can watch it. So that's my scheme, is to keep writing, but also to kind of get that go meet food people, because it's just amazing to me what people will say and what stories there are behind the smallest thing that I just love.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show. And anybody wants to find out more about Nancy, you can go to her website. It's nancymcdermott.com. There's a link here on our show. Also, you can find out about that video series, which that is really cool, about how to cook classic pies made easy. And I can't say the word craftsy.com, but you can find that on her website. Also,
I think they did it on purpose.
They must have. It's just a tongue twister. But anyway, you can find all the information about Nancy there. You're welcome to come back when you come out with those new cookbooks, and keep
That's
us posted.
Great.
You're always welcome on Gray and Ideas Radio.
Oh, I'd love to come back. Thanks so much, and I think I'm going to go make a pumpkin pie with our Halloween pumpkin this afternoon.
There you go. Have fun.
Ah, great.
Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Happy fall.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, check out her website. The pies are amazing. They just You jump right off the page and you want to eat the book. So thank you, Nancy, for joining us on the show. We're going to take a quick break. I think Laurie's trying to call in. I don't know why her phone. Of course, we're out here on the island, so that's why. But let's see here. Let me play a song here. Oh, Hunter Monroe. I haven't played any of her in quite a while. How does it feel? How does it feel, Brian?
I don't know. I'm numb.
We're going to play Hunter Monroe, How Does It Feel? We'll be right back.
When all you got to do is sit and wait, put your head held down, you got the look on your face when I'm asking you, how does it feel? You're taking the back way into the blues. I certainly give you a mile to walk in my shoes, but you know. Yesterday, now I know.
But I won't. I was just sitting there thinking that.
Well,
so.
That's how it feels, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Okay, Nancy, I was just thinking about our last guest, and maybe I should get with her and make a cookbook. She could help me, and it'd be like Green Ideas Crazy Pies. I think it would sell.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting what she was saying about how she started with her cookbooks, and I guess it was, she said she was in the Peace Corps and spent time in Asia. But I find that so many foodies start with Asian food because it's, you know, it's like the oldest culture. I, you know, my first passion with cooking was Asian, you know, and then it progressed from there. But it's just interesting that, you know, I find a lot of people really kind of gravitate toward Asian because it's the oldest, you know, food culture, or one of the oldest, and then kind of move further with their culinary talents. But she's got quite a collection of books. It looked like it was about 10 books so far.
Yeah, she's got some really cool ones here. You're right, a lot of Asian influence in a lot of her earlier cookbooks, and like Fozzie Bear says, waka waka.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was bad. All right. You know what? I wonder if, would you include shepherd's pie and chicken pot pie in a crazy pie?
Why? I mean, yes. Why not? It's pie.
Okay. It's pie.
It
I almost
pie
start working
on
that.
I mean,
on these recipes.
I have a few quirky pie, but more here we go. I'm going to use that word you love me to use. Savory pies.
Savory pie. There you go.
You know, I can contribute a few ideas to the book if you like.
By the way, on a completely different subject that's not related and probably TMI, don't give your dogs too much chicken. This morning, I won't go into gory details, but, you know, that chicken thighs I made, well, part of it's probably the spice and maybe the olive oil, but these poor dogs, I felt sorry for them. They've had, let's just say, they've been running all over the yard, and just don't give your dogs too much spice. I guess it's the spice. I don't know, but they've been having a bad time around here today, and the reason I brought it up because one just walked by me, and it didn't smell good, made me think of it, but anyway.
Hey, but I wanted to ask you about that dish because I was curious. You actually took a nice picture. It looked like a nice dish. So how did you flavor? What did you put in the, you know, in the pan with the chicken to bake it? Come on,
really
we, you know,
simple,
we want you to
garlic,
we want to exploit your you know the good things about you. It's rare that I find something, but you know, I want to explore them.
It's very rare. But no, I bought boneless thighs because they were on sale. They had them basically half price because they were at date at Walmart. And I like boneless thighs.
Yeah, they weren't 3 days old, were they?
No. They were. Date was good. And when I opened the package, they smelled fine. So anyway, when you take a boneless thigh, you can, you know, lay it. It opens up. What's the word? There's a word for that. It not fans out, but butterfly. Like butterflies out.
Butterfly.
And
yes.
I took it and stuffed them. I put one baby. Sounds stupid. One baby carrot. One asparagus tip. One onion. And a pepper, these serrano peppers.
Rolled it up.
Yeah, it was kind of spicy. Well, I took all the seeds and all the crap out of the pepper, so they were
pretty
hot. Yeah, because Laurie doesn't like them. I did keep some that way, and they were pretty hot. All you could taste was serrano pepper and no chicken, but that's another story. But anyway, and then you wrap it up and seasoned it with garlic pepper. And what else did I put on there? Oh, yeah. Owen's Barbecue sent me this stuff. I think it's called Tamunkin or Tabakin rub. I don't know how you pronounce it, but he sent me some stuff. I sprinkled on there. Little olive oil. Throw them in the oven with 10 tons worth of Reynolds Wrap. Set it at like 380 and cooked it for about an hour and 45 minutes until they were done, and took the tinfoil off and let them brown a little bit on top, and voila. I had stuffed chicken thighs. It was really good.
No, I mean, they look great, and chicken thighs are great for stuffing because the dark meat is certainly a lot more moist than trying to use a chicken breast. It's really hard to keep a chicken breast moist and tender unless you cook it for about 3 seconds on each side.
Right.
But chicken thighs are the best way to go. I love to use chicken thighs also, especially for stuffing. Now, you know, you can do something next time. Maybe we're going to elevate you a little bit. You can take. Do you have a meat tenderizer? Like a mallet?
No, but I've got a thing I can pound on them. What do you want me to?
Well, you could butterfly the thigh, and then pound it out a little bit so you make it like a thin fillet, like you would make veal parmesan or something like that.
Right.
And then put your stuffing, your fillings in, and roll them. And then just give them a little toothpick just to hold them together. But they shouldn't.
Yeah, that's the one thing I agree with. I should have done. I should have put toothpicks in them because some of them, if you notice in the photograph, some of them kind of fell apart. They opened up, so you got to do that. And you know what I would do, too? Wrap them in bacon. Of course, I'd wrap everything in bacon, but next time I will wrap them in bacon.
I mean, that would work. But if you roll them, that actually would be easier to wrap in bacon because then you can roll the bacon around it, you know. You can spiral the bacon right around it, and it'll hold
together. Actually,
I'll try
that. I looked yesterday at Walmart, but they didn't have any on sale. You know me, I don't pay full price. So next time they're on sale, I'll try that. Guess who's calling in from the Fireman Brigade? Supposed to say Laurie. All right, hold on a second. I think this is her. Hello, Miss Laurie. What are you doing?
Hello. I wanted to call for a second. I'm having too much fun.
I bet you are.
Yeah,
we were
worried about that. You know, all those firemen and you.
Oh, my gosh. They're auctioning off. All these people we've donated. You know, it goes towards the church here on Hooper's Island. So they're auctioning off all these different gifts. And I donated a beautiful Lennox Christmas teapot, and they're getting ready to auction it off. So I popped out for 5 minutes to say hi and let you know I just had the most delicious crab soup, a crab cake, and I'm thinking of you guys.
Well, thanks a lot. I hope you're bringing me some.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. I mean, I'm here in Richmond. At least I'm not even as close as Grill is. And hey, Grill, do you expect any of that to actually get to the house? When she comes home?
No, it's pouring rain. It's pouring rain. I had to run to the car to make the phone call. I'm like, okay, let me run out in the rain, make the phone call, and then say hi and say goodbye. So I can go back.
She just wants to go back and play with the firemen, that's all.
That's right. I warned you in the beginning of the show. I warned you that was going
to
happen. Yeah.
I'm known as a hugger.
And I'll tell you right now, when you listen to the replay, I did not bring it up. Brian did.
not the F. Something, what'd you do? I know, I can imagine
merely,
what it is.
It was merely a suggestion that they were going to try to do that. Because you know those crafty firemen, they you know, you stick one beautiful woman in the middle of a bunch of firemen, you know what happens. So we just hope that they're behaving themselves.
Hey, are you buying anything at the auction? Are you buying anything at the auction? Are you buying anything?
Oh, you know what? They had the most gorgeous they had a comforter. It was beautiful.
Oh, boy.
But it was going too high. I mean,
oh,
it's really nice. These people are really going up there with the money. I'm thinking, I don't want it that much. You know, after $50, I'm thinking, I'll pass. So I'm being good.
All right. Go eat crab cakes. Go eat crab soup. Just think of us on the radio while you're having fun with the firemen.
I will. Have a fun show. Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right. Now, we're going to take another break. We have our singing guest joining us. And as I said at the beginning of the show, her name is Catherine Coffey, and I got to get her music queued up here because I was talking to Laurie and wasn't paying attention to my real job of running the radio here. Okay, Catherine Coffey, she's joining us here. I think she's in, I don't know where she is. I think she's in California, but I have no clue. We'll find out in a minute, but everyone hang tight.
I'm going to investigate.
You investigate while we're gone, and that this... I think the good, first song to do is called Where We Start, and that would be a good place to start, so we'll be right back.
More than these bones, guys whisper into calcium cages.
And that was Catherine Coffey, and that's our singing guest. And where is she from, Winesar?
I'm not sure. It's either Omaha, Nebraska, or maybe Los Angeles. I Googled Make-Believe Studios, which she showed an affiliation. Her page is not a, it's a like page. It's not a regular Facebook page.
All right.
And so it doesn't say where she's from.
Well, I guess that's why we have them on to ask those questions. All right, hold on. Catherine Coffey, it's coffee time. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning.
All right, where
how
are you from?
How are you guys today?
We're doing great.
Oh, well, I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, and that's actually where Make Believe Studios is as well. But I'm calling you from Hillsdale, Michigan, actually.
Are you doing a gig in Michigan?
No, this is actually where I go to school.
Oh, so you're where you go? You're in college, I assume?
Yeah, I'm a junior in college, and I go to Hillsdale College here in
Hillsdale.
Michigan.
Hillsdale, okay. So you're calling from college. So and we had it's your brother, right, Greg? Greg Coffey? That's
yeah.
Your brother, right? We mm-hmm. had your brother on a few weeks back, or a couple months ago. Great, great guy. And he talked
yeah.
to Unblessed Carol and said that, hey, my sister sings too, and here you are. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell us all about you and how you got involved in music. I have a feeling because music must be in the family.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There are nine of us. I have eight siblings, and all of us are really musical. My parents always played music around the house. We learned as many instruments as we could get our hands on, and we've always enjoyed making music together. So I've always just been around music nonstop, and I've always been making music, and so has Greg. And Greg and I have actually been making music for a long time, music together for a really long time. I remember when I was like 6, I think, and he was 10, we wrote a little musical about a tiger. But yeah, so that's just always been a big part of our lives. And I didn't really take it too seriously. I mean, it was a great hobby, and I've always absolutely loved music. But I didn't really start writing and playing music seriously until I was about 17. I bought a ukulele just for the fun of it.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, and best $35 I've ever spent, to be honest. I went with it under my arm to this little coffee shop, and I was just waiting in line for my drink so I could head home. And there was a guy behind me in line, and he asked if I knew how to play it, and I said yes, and we got talking, and it eventually ended up being a really great conversation / jam session at this coffee shop, because he got out his ukulele that he had in
no
the trunk
kidding.
Of his car. Yeah, it was really awesome. And
now,
wait.
Brian, what is the odds of that, walking into a coffee shop with a ukulele under your arm and a guy who's there says, wait, let me get my ukulele out of my truck. That's, the odds of that, you ought to play the lottery, for God's sake.
I think the odds are very good. I mean, why not?
Oh, come on. Who carries around ukuleles? I mean, ukuleles, I know, I mean, is an instrument, but not, I mean, I could say if it was guitar, it wouldn't be that odd, but ukulele, it'd be like
you're living in the Stone Age. People have all kinds of things in their cars these days. I carry wine in my car all the time.
I can guarantee, plus my French horn,
because I'm always running through a rehearsal somewhere.
Oh, yeah, but I can guarantee you, if I pulled an oboe out of my trunk, there's not going to be anybody else around with an oboe. Maybe ukulele, but not an oboe. So anyway, you guys started jamming right there in the coffee shop?
Yeah, well, we found out that we both really liked Harry Nilsson. So we swapped our favorite Harry Nilsson songs and, just played for each other. And we talked about music and life. And this guy at the end of our conversation, he asked if I would like to open for his gig at the same coffee shop. that he had once a month. And I only knew one song on my ukulele. And this guy, Derek Dibbern, his musical act is called Freck and the Elixir, and it's the coolest thing. He improvises, and he just makes this beautiful, spontaneous, exciting music, and it's a joy to watch. And so, of course, I jumped on it. I was, really excited, and so I learned as many songs as I possibly could on ukulele. By the end of the month, I had a weird little jumble of covers. I started opening for his gig every month.
That is cool. Talk about being at the right place at the right time with your ukulele.
I know.
How weird is that?
I know, right? It's just really, thank God, that's definitely not ordinary, so
no,
I'm very grateful for that happening.
Now, the song that
Sorry?
We just played, Where We Start, did you write that song, or did you write these songs you sent to me, or did someone else write these songs?
I wrote all of the songs I sent to you.
Cool.
Yeah, I write all of my music. And that's actually something that playing with Derek and really starting to apply myself to music kind of brought about. I started writing that same summer, and I haven't really stopped since. So.
Wow, good for you. Now we'll play another one of your songs. Now, Peter Pan, I have to play that. And you said, what was the name of the studio? What's the studio called? Fantasy, or what's it
Make
called
Believe.
Again? Make Believe.
Make Believe.
I was close. Peter Pan fits right in with that. So what's the Peter Pan song all about?
The Peter Pan song is about, young love and just finding someone that really takes you out of yourself and out of your usual world, and just how really magical that can be.
All right, and since Brian is kind of like Tinkerbell, he'll like this. So everybody hang tight.
Oh, God.
And,
I was going to say something nice about how you took Lori out of her usual world. But I'm not going to be nice anymore. That's it.
Right. I didn't expect you to be. All right. They call me Captain Hook. All right, Peter Pan. Hang on.
I was Wendy, darling. dressed in pixie dust. Have I found you, Peter Pan?
And that was Catherine Coffey, Peter Pan. We have Catherine Coffey joining us this morning. Are you in a coffee shop? That would be appropriate.
No, I'm actually at my house. We're lounging around studying and feasting on leftover Halloween candy. So.
Well, I think it's kind of funny that she plays at a coffee house and her name's Coffee, but I don't know. I think the world's weird anyway. So... these songs you sent to me, do you have a CD?
Not yet. We're actually approaching getting into post-production of my EP. That will be released sometime early next year.
Okay.
So, yeah, not yet, but it's on its way.
So, like, right now, this is kind of like make-believe. Get it?
Becoming reality, but yes.
So you Make Believe Studios, is that the one that's going to be making your EPs?
Yes, it's Make Believe Studios in collaboration with BLK Productions, Beats Life Knowledge Productions. Yeah, a bunch of really great people. I'm so grateful to be working with them.
Cool. Now, a girl who's in college, you said a junior at Hillsdale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys like pie?
Like Thai food?
No, pie. P-I-E. Do you like pie?
Oh, pie. you know what? I actually don't really like pie.
No?
Much.
Well, then you don't. I was going to tell you to go back and listen to the show if you missed the first part of the show. A lady talked about pie, but forget about that. You won't like it anyway, so that won't work. So what do you guys do in Hillsdale? What kind of food do you eat there? What's your favorite food in Hillsdale?
My favorite food in Hillsdale... it's a pretty small town, so our options are fairly limited, but there is one really amazing place. It's called the Coffee Cup Diner.
Okay.
And it's this little teeny tiny diner. It's actually in an old train car, and so it's so small. It's funny to see it on Saturdays, like all the hungover people are going there, and it's packed. But it's this teeny tiny diner, and it's owned by this woman from Thailand named Pai.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. And the diner, it has usual diner fare, so you can get, you know, your eggs and hash browns and all that great stuff, and a really good cup of coffee, actually. But there's also a Thai menu there. You can get really good Thai food, and actually it's the best curry I've ever had. It was kind of a strange experience sitting in a mom-and-pop diner in Hillsdale, Michigan, eating the best Thai I've ever had, but totally worth it. It was amazing.
Do they serve alcohol beverages there?
They don't. For that, you're going to want to go to the Hunt Club or Broad Street.
Oh, because I thought you could tie one on, but I guess you can't there, but... Oh, my jokes
puns
are bad
abound.
Today. Yeah. So we appreciate you joining us today on the show. And when do you expect to launch this EP? You said sometime in 2015?
Yes. We're looking at early spring.
All right. And if people want to find you, I have your link here for your Facebook music page. I believe that's what that is here. People can click and go to Facebook. Do you have a website yet?
I do not have a website. But I do also have a YouTube channel called Catherine Coffey Music, and there you can get a lot of my original work and some of the weird covers that I do as well. So.
Okay. And if you check that out on YouTube, you can also click here on this Facebook/Catherine Coffey Music. You can find Catherine there, and we appreciate you joining us this morning. Good luck with the new EP, and we'll actually play your last song. We close out the show in about 8 or 10 minutes. I'll play the last song, which is called Back East. And, well, before I let you go, what's Back East about?
Back east, it's my family is from upstate New York. And when we moved to Nebraska, ever since we've moved to Nebraska, people always refer to our old home as back east. They would say, well, back east we did this and back east we did that. And it always struck me that they said that. And when I moved up to Michigan and would come back to Nebraska, I often found myself being homesick for being in Michigan, and but enjoying the fact that I could always go back and reconnect with the people that I love so much here. So, yeah, that's what this song is about.
Well, we will close out the show in a few minutes with Back East. Thank you, Catherine, for joining us, and keep us posted with the new EP.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. And enjoy the typhoon.
Thank you. God bless.
All right.
Bye.
All right, Brian, we're almost out of time. I want to mention that tomorrow night, our good buddy, the Untamed Chef, Albert Hernandez, will be having his show at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And then, let's see, Tuesday, I haven't even told him yet, Tuesday and Wednesday shows are up in the air with John Dilley and with the Untamed Chef again, because I may not be able to do the shows, but they don't know that. But if we do, if we don't, you can always hear
Albert is doing two shows now.
Yeah, good old Christo, he's busy doing what Christo does, making food and the kind of stuff he does to make a living. And so Albert's been filling in on the Christo time slot until Christo decides if he's going to come back or not. But, yeah, I got Albert doing two shows. You know, maybe we can – you want one of those time slots? We can talk about how the wines are either Sunday night or Wednesday morning, which one you want.
Probably Sunday night would be better. Most people will be asleep by the time they listen to me.
Yeah, well,
so
I know. Jeez, I can't imagine 9 p.m. on Sunday listening to you talk about wine. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk. Do you have anything else you want to add, Mr. Winezar, before we call it a day?
No, I'm just bummed that Laurie was not with us, and she's off having a good time with a bunch of firemen eating crabs and hopefully not getting crabs.
you said it. I didn't. You're in trouble now.
I know. I'll take the heat. I take the heat for enough things, so I think I can handle this one, too.
All right. Well, are you done?
I don't know. Am I done?
Yeah, you're done. You've been done a long time ago.
You determine whenever I'm done, so. Like you say, I have the button. I can cut you off whenever I want.
No, you're done. By the way, people, I was saying, too, if you want to hear any of our replays, you can go to greatandideasradio.com. You can find all the replays from all of our great shows. We have a whole history there of, gosh, I think there's something to the tune of like 215 shows that since we've been doing this thing. And if you missed any of them, which I'm sure some of you have, then you can go back and listen to any of the replays. They're always there, and working out the final details here soon. We got the new folks going to be joining us. We'll be talking gardening, and we'll be talking about barbecue, and we got a few other surprises up our sleeve. And so thank you for joining us each and every Saturday and each and every day during the week when you listen to Gray and Ideas Radio. And we'll be here again next Saturday with another group of foodies and music talent, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to end the show, as I said I would, with Catherine Coffey's show called Back East, song called Back East. Everyone have a nice weekend, and we are out of here. See you next
Saturday morning.
Take care.
take our heels and we'll just head back east. Whoa.
When you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.